for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, November the 24th, 2006. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on deliverance for children.
Well, let's all stand up and y'all stand with me in prayer, please. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We just ask for an outpouring of your Spirit today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We come before you, Lord, to open your word, Lord. We bind the spirits of inattentiveness, Lord God. We bind the spirits of slumber. We bind the spirits of deep sleep and stupor in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Anything, Lord, that would blind the eyes and deafen the ears that they cannot hear your word. Lord, we loose your spirits, Lord, of understanding and wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might and fear the Lord. That this word shall go forth and shall bear a good crop, 30, 60, 100 fold. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we are going to talk about deliverance for children. Now, this is a somewhat of a complex subject, but Jesus prayed deliverance for children. Now that, hi Carla, welcome in. Welcome. This is Carla. This is the lady that came in on the airplane that buzzed the building. And where in the Bible did Jesus pray for children to be delivered by evil spirits? Actually, there were two cases. The first is the case of the child who had the epileptic spirit, and it's recorded in all three synoptic Gospels. We'll look at Mark because it is the one that has the best account. It says, when he came to the disciples, he comes coming down off the Mount of the Transfiguration, and he's been apparently been fasting up there. Didn't say that they sat down and ate. He saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes disputing with him. Immediately when he saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what were you discussing with them? You notice Jesus had to ask. Okay. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out. They could not. And he asked them and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And when they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell to the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. And so he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. And often has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That word compassion there, whenever you see that word, you're going to see miracles. It says Jesus had saw them and he had compassion on them and he healed them all. When you see that word, miracles will follow. I say this to you. When you're praying or when you're walking, and the love of God comes on you, and you see someone, and you follow the love of God, just follow it. You'll see a miracle when you follow the love of God. And so, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father child cried out and said to him with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And when the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And so he said to him, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And so that is the first case. And there are a number of principles that we'll look at, but let's look at the other case. And this is case two, and it's a Greek lady, a Phoenician. And notice that it says here that from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he took his disciples, they'd gotten so bad, they'd gotten so busy, he took his disciples on a retreat out in the country, and the folks followed him out there, and they didn't have time to eat. So then he took his disciples and he went to Tyre and Sidon, which is another country. And he entered into a house and wanted no one to know it. He tried to get some rest. But he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him and came to him and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Phoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she came home, she found the demon gone, her daughter lying on the bed. Let's look at the Matthew's account. When Jesus went out there and departed and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, behold, a woman of Cana, a Canaanite, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, O Son of David. You notice she recognizes who he is. The Lord, the Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after them. And she'd been following the disciples around, tormenting them. And they said, get rid of her. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped him. Now, the Luke's account said she kneeled before him. Here it said she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. The Lord answered and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Her daughter was healed that very hour. Now, from these two cases, these three scripture readings, we can draw certain principles. First, parents asked for help. In both cases, a parent came and asked Jesus. In Mark 9:17-24 and 22 and 24, it said, one of the crowd answered, said, teacher, I brought you my son. He is a mute spirit. And he's often thrown him in the fire. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And then he asked for help for his unbelief. In Matthew, Canaanite woman from the vicinity came crying out and said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely. And so the parents came and they asked for help. So that's your first principle. They were persistent. The man is continuing. He says, often thrown him in the fire and the water destroyed. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And immediately the father cried out and said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus did not answer a word. And the disciples urged him, send her away. And they demonstrated faith and worshiped. There the father cried, said, help my unbelief. Matthew, the woman said, she came and she worshiped him. So they demonstrated faith. They came. They asked for help. They asked. They were persistent. They didn't take no for an answer. Sometimes when you're trying to get demons out of your body, out of your children, out of yourself, you may have to go to two or three folks. You may go to someone who says, you don't really believe in demons, do you? Oh, come on now. That's a medieval superstition. That Jesus was just going along to please the crowd when he called out demons. He was just catering to their ignorant, superstitious beliefs. You'll hear all those answers. But you have to be persistent. Jesus took a history. Look at that. Jesus took a history. You know, Jesus was God. He was man, uniquely man, and uniquely God. And God knows everything. But Jesus gave up all of his godly powers when he came down to walk the earth just like
you. If he hadn't been just like you, he couldn't have paid the price for your sin. Every supernatural miracle that he did with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The same gifts that you have. That's the reason he said, these things that I do, you shall do, and greater things when I go to my Father. And so he took a history. He asked us to look down at the scribes and said, what are you talking about? God didn't give him a word of knowledge. He had to ask. And he asked the Father, how long has this been happening?
So that time that Jesus has to take a history. You know, the prophets of old sometimes had to take histories. Sometimes when I'm ministering in the morning prayer meeting, I'm moved mostly by words of knowledge, but sometimes I say, you know, God is hidden it from me. I don't know what's going on. You're going to have to tell me what's happening. If you can move by word of knowledge, it brings great conviction to the person you're praying for. But there are times when God wants the person to vocalize their need. Well, we're getting away from children.
He said that faith of the parent was necessary. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he said to the woman, great is your faith.
Now, we won't come to another case where he said, great is your faith, but that's a little later.
And here, you know, the great prophet Elisha. Remember the story of the Shunammite lady whose child died? And she laid him on the bed, and she got on the donkey, and she ran to the prophet. And then so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. And now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi, I came near to push her away, but the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me, he has not told me. And he had to say, what's wrong, honey? And so there comes a time that a true prophet of God has to ask questions. I've had people say, well, if it's really God, you'd know. If you're really a prophet, really God, the Holy Spirit, you'd know. Not always. The man that had the double portion anointing had to ask the question. History. Paint a family history from both parents, including their relationship with Jesus Christ and whether they are spirit-filled. First thing you want to do is that you talk to the parents. You get a history from the parents. And you have questioned both parents. I have a 15-page questionnaire in the back of the rejection book back there that you can photocopy. You have permission to photocopy that for the publisher. And when you're working with someone, oh, you're working with your children, you need to sit down and fill it out and look at it and pray about it. And the back of the pages are blank so you can write on the back of the pages. And if you duplicate it, I suggest that you duplicate it so you've got plenty of space to write down. And you think of everything to uncover what has happened in the past. The father, both the child's father and the parent's father. Were they present or absent? What was the spiritual or financial role in the family? Were they a support to their children, their wives? Did you feel protected by him? Were you able to please him? And you see, if you have a relational problem with your, as Jerry said, if you have a relational problem with your children, it is probably related to a relational problem you had with your father, and that he had with his father, and he had with his father before him. You see, as you dishonor your parents, you come under a curse. And what does a curse bring? A what? A demon. Oh. Better known as a familiar spirit that goes down the family line. That is how he brings the law of reaping and sowing to pass. You got familiar spirits working to bring it to pass. And they have a legal right to do this if you're under the curse. And you think that's just the way you are. You know, we always, all of us Joneses just got a bad temper. All of us have always been frugal, thrifty, or we've always been extravagant, never been able to handle our money, you know. That's just the way we are. Well, you got a demon. And it's coming down the family line. And what gives a demon its power? All you have to ask the men this today. I'm going to ask the women. What gives a demon its power? What determines how much power a demon has in your life? Carl?
The
the amount you serve him. But he didn't say in Romans 6:16, do not yield your members to sin, to be slaves to unrighteousness. The more you yield to a spirit, the more power it has. This is demonstrated in hypnosis. If you go to your friendly dentist who is going to hypnotize you instead of using a local anesthetic so it won't hurt, unless you've got a witchcraft curse in your family making you very susceptible to these witchcraft spirits coming in you, this witchcraft mind control coming into you, then he will hypnotize you and you go into a light trance. And then you come back for another session and you'll go a little bit deeper. And after about 6 or 8 sessions, you see, he can just speak to you and you zombie it out. And you can call him and, you know, I see people that got bad headaches and so they go to that hypnotherapist, you know, and they get the bad headache and they call him on the phone. He speaks to them on the phone and the headache goes away. They go into a slight trance. And so these spirits, and so the more he hypnotizes you, the more power that thing, the more you yield that thing, the more power it has. And the more you serve it, and your family serve it, and you got a spirit that's been in your family 100 years that all your generations have been serving, it's like Jerry's drawing. You have a little bitty thing to start with. By the time he gets down here, a great big number. And no 15-minute prayer going to get rid of that. It starts. Remember that the first journey starts with the first step. The enemy takes ground quickly, but he is slow to give it up. He moves back slowly. You got to push him back. You know, you're like the cheerleaders when they're down on the first line, they're saying, hold that line, boys, hold that line. You got to hold that line and push. And so you look and you get a history here about the father and about his father. And then you got some idea about what's in this child. And then you get the mother. Is God, she present or absent? Was she the spiritual or financial role in the family? Did she support you emotionally? Were you able to please her? Were you nurtured by her or used by her? Or maybe she was under the curse of an abortion and she was a mechanical mom. If you've had an abortion in your family, it goes 4 generations at least. And you're the mechanical mom. I had one lady that I worked with and she just had to get out of the house. The kids were driving her crazy. And she had to get a job. And then she read Betty Finesse. I forget the name of the book now. The Feminine Mystique. And then she just said, you know, that it's just not fulfilling to raise small children. Anybody can do that. And so she worked in an office and let somebody else raise the kids. And when she did it, it was mechanical. There was no real love for the kids. And she felt put upon when she had to do it. That was because her mother had an abortion. Grandmother had an abortion. And this curse of the abortion comes down the family line. I recommend that you, Bill and Sue Banks have got a book over there called Ministering to Abortion's Aftermath. It'd be nice. It's an excellent book to read. And you get all the symptoms. Carla has got a tape on curse of the abortion. You wonder why they got so much child abuse in this country today? Child abuse has exploded. There's so many cases now in big cities that you got to have the Social Security number before you can look them up because you got so many with the same name. You got to know their birthday and their Social Security number. Why? Because we've got so many abortions and we got people living under the curse of the abortion. They hate their kids and the spirits of murder comes in. Murder and abuse comes in. And so you get these histories from the mother, the father. Remember this, if the spirit's in the mama and the father and you cast them out of the child, and the mama and the papa still got them, they're going to come back. Parents' relationship with siblings, both the parents and the child's siblings and the parents' siblings. Was he the only child in the family? Was the relationship with other children? Was he bullied, teased, shunned, loved, accepted, encouraged, brutalized, tormented, mistreated? Parent, household, both parents' household. Find out where the parents fit into the family. Did others get credit for your work? Were there dysfunctional problems? Alcohol, drug, legalism, perfectionism? Did you go to church? Which church you go to? Family history of both parents. Social and ethnic descent. You know, I'm a German. I'm a German and Choctaw Indian. Also Scottish. Welsh. The Welsh love to spend money. The Scots don't. And so sometimes my Welsh blood would come in, I'd go out and be foolish. And then my Scotch blood would come up, and I would feel guilty about it. And I wouldn't spend anything. I hear my grandmother right now saying, "You take care of the pennies, Billy, the pounds will take care of themselves."
You ever hear them say that?
Family membership and organizations. Were you in any kind of secret organizations, like the Masons, or any other secret organizations, fraternities, family participation in the occult, and spiritualism, in divination, in voodoo, in fortune-telling, in astrology. Family, familiar spirits, both families. And you just go through and you think of all the occultic spirits, abuse, bondage, witchcraft, drugs, alcohol, lies, thieves, vagabonds, learning disabilities, lecture. And you can add another 15 or 20 or 30 to it. But you just talk to the people and you just have them think. And you give them these and say, "You have any others? Did they abuse their children? They abuse each other? They use bad language. They have whoredom spirits in the family." And so forth. Possible evil soul ties from past sexual sin, the occult in the family. And you get those from the family history. Curses for both parents. And you know, that last ten generations. Wayne Worley used to say, "How many of y'all know what your blood kin doing 400 years ago? If you figure a generation at 40 years, 10 times 40 is 400. You got any idea what your blood kin is doing?" You know, I did some family research on genealogy. I got curious. And I found Aunt Sarah's family history. Aunt Sarah died at 110 in 1915. And in 1910, she wrote down the family history. And it went all the way back to 1730. And there was no flaw in it. I checked it out. I got birth certificates on all the kids, on I found out when they was born, and lots of them had birth certificates, lots of them didn't, when they died, and I went by and looked at gravestones, and I got marriage records and so forth, and I found out there's a lot of premature babies in an old family. You know, first baby can come any time, all of us take 9 months. Now you have to understand, when I was a pediatrician, you know, back in the 50s, the worst thing that could happen to a man was for his daughter to get pregnant out of wedlock. He could not walk down the street and hold his head up if his daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. And to have a baby out of wedlock? Man, they sent you off to Aunt Susie in the next state or someplace. Or to the Salvation Army home for unwed mothers. I mean, you went to school, suddenly you were going to school someplace else. I mean, you didn't fool anybody, but most people were polite. They just talked behind your back. Those run 10 generations. I break them on everybody. The vagabond curse comes from returning evil for good. It says if you return evil for good, that evil will never leave your household. The abortion, whoredom, idolatry, rejection, cult, whoredom. You know, the modern translations say holotry, but I like the word whoredom. It's got punch to it, you know. It's one of them loaded words that gets people's attention. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Whoredom, wine, and new wine cause my people to stray. Takes away the soul. A spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray." And so that spirit of whoredom covers the occult, sexual immorality, the use of drugs, and it will cause dyslexia, learning disabilities in your household, in your descendants. And you need to break that curse and call back the soul that's been taken away. It says, takes away the soul. And that word takes away is the same word that was used in, it said, Enoch walked with God and God took him. He took him away. Takes away the soul. Takes away part of the soul. So they get learning disabilities. They get blackout spells. You know what a blackout spell is? That's an alcoholic, you know, or a drug addict that's walking along and suddenly he blanks out and he wakes up a month later in New York and don't know how he got there. A demon has taken over. And he's stolen part of his soul and it's been occupied by a demon because he's walked around and acted normal. And you look at all these curses and you ask questions. and you fill it out. Now this child. Then you get to the child. After you get the family, then you get the child. Circumstance of conception. Was it planned or was it an accident? Was it an act of love or was it lust? The Bible says that there are three ways a child can be born. It can be born from blood, the blood heritage. It can be born as the will of the flesh. Means two people decide they want to have a baby. Or it can be born from the lust of the husband. Now that's the NIV translation, and Derek Prince says that's the best translation. The lust of the husband. So those are three ways that a child's born. So is it born out of love and desire, or is it born out of lust? Because if it's born out of lust, it's under a curse. Wanted or unwanted? Was abortion tried or considered? Was it conceived out of wedlock? Conceived out of wedlock is illegitimate. Where in the child does he fit in? Is he the only child, the oldest child, middle child, baby child? Is he the family hero or the scapegoat? Or is it the invisible child? That's, you know, in the dyslexic family, you have children that are invisible. They just sort of hide in the corner just waiting to grow up so they can get away. Because they sure don't want to be involved in that over there. But they're rejected. And they suffer from terrible rejection. The scapegoat suffers from rejection. The hero suffers from rejection. The hero, unless you get him help, he will be the family hero and he will do wonderful things, and suddenly he's about 45 years old and you hear he done bought himself a fancy convertible and run off with the secretary and left his wife and children. Happens more than you think. He needs help. How does this child relate to father, mother, other siblings, friends, classmates, and authority figures? How does he do schoolwork and attitude? That will tell you whether or not he's got dyslexia and lost soul. Personal habits. Is he aggressive? Is he fearful, lonely, neat, sloppy, narcissistic? Narcissistic means self-worship. Extremely selfish and self-centered. What parents, then you say, what's wrong with your child? What have you noticed? What are you concerned about? That's after you get all his other history. What's the child's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, depending on the age? What is Jesus' attitude towards children receiving prayer and blessing? Well, in Luke 18, it says, when they brought him infants that he might touch them, the disciples saw it and they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. So Jesus wants you to pray for children. Now, you know, those are parents. We all agree that parents have the authority to bring their child for prayer. Does anyone else have authority to bring a child to you for prayer? Are there any situations in which you have the authority to pray for someone else's children? In those cases, you probably won't have a tremendous family history. But are there cases in which, and I think they are. And we have a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent. I think that patriarchs of the family have the authority to pray for their seed. And this is demonstrated in Genesis 48, 1 through 22. And I'm not going to put all 22 verses up there. But here, Israel, or Jacob, yeah, Israel, prayed for the sons of Joseph. Joseph brought the children into him. And he began to bless them, and he adopted them without Joseph's consent. He adopted them and gave them a full inheritance. Now, Joseph was the firstborn. He had the elder son benefit. He wasn't the first. Reuben was the firstborn, but Reuben crawled in bed with his father's concubine. And it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 that he lost the birthright, and the birthright fell to Joseph. And that was a special coat that he gave him. We said in the King James, it says a coat of many colors. Most translators say it was a coat with long sleeves. And if it was long sleeves, it meant he couldn't work. When they worked, they had short sleeves, and they pulled their dress up and tucked it into their garment. But he had long sleeves and a garment that came down to him. And he walked around, and his father sent him out to check on his brothers. He was the elder son. He was the boss of all the... He was the father's foreman, if you want to put it that way. And he brought back a bad report about him, and they hated him. But he was the elder son who was endued the double portion, and so he did not give it to Joseph. He gave his two sons, and he blessed them. And the father tried to change the blessing. And he said, no, we're going to do it this way. He crossed his hands. bless the youngest one with his right hand, the elder with his left hand. And so I think that the patriarch can pray for his children, for his seed, based on that. You may disagree with me, but can others, such as the following, bring a child for prayer? An aunt, a babysitter, a youth leader, a school teacher, a physician, an uncle, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a church elder? Can those people either pray for a child or bring him for prayer? And I think this falls under delegated authority. Well, how does Jesus feel about children being free from bondage? He says, whenever you receive a little child like this in my name, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, or Old King James says stumble, the New American Standard says to offend, it would be better for him if he was millstone was hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. So Jesus feels that they should be free. I believe if delegated authority over the child is present, then authority to pray is present. If someone brings in a child to you and says, this is my child, I want you to keep him, you obey this lady. She is responsible for you. That's delegated authority. When you go to a physician, you are placing yourself under his authority for him to treat you. I prayed for every child that came in my office, except when the parents told me not to. Now, I had some parents that went to my partner, and my nurse would say, Dr. Null, they say it's all right for you to come treat the baby, but they do not want you praying for him. And so I'd go, write him a prescription for medicine. I wouldn't pray for him. But I didn't have delegated authority. I had no authority to stand on. But I used to write down the names of the demons I would see in children, write their names down, write down the demons, and I'd put them on a prayer list. And every night, I'd spend an hour bringing those children up by name and binding those demons. Sometimes 2 hours. And I saw great change in those children and in their parents. And so I think that if there's a position in which a school teacher has a delegated authority, a pastor has delegated authority, he's raised up by God. The youth leader, pastor's delegated authority to him. And so these people have authority to pray for children. Now, the effectiveness of the prayers is determined in cases of delegated authority. The effectiveness of the prayers is determined by 2 things. The submission to authority in the person praying, the submission to authority in the life of the person requesting prayer for the child. And these principles are demonstrated in the following verses. Now, here we've got the centurion. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came in pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant's lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I found such great faith in all of Israel. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you believe, let it be done to you, for your servant was healed that same hour. You notice there that the centurion was a man under authority. And he did. And remember, all authority, Romans 13:1 says, all authority flows from God's throne. The centurion was a man placed under authority, and he was in submission to the authority. Therefore, he had authority to command his soldiers. Jesus was a man under authority. The Word of God says that God tells me what to say and how to say it. Now, that's the NIV translation. What to say and how to say it. Jesus always yielded. He was under the authority of the Father. By the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he had authority to command those things unto him, the healing spirits, to go forth and heal. You're under authority. How well are you submitted? Because that determines the authority that you will walk in. And here's as Luke says the same thing. Now, what is your authority? Remember that you are seated in Jesus Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities. First, we look at Ephesians 1. He said he worked in Christ and raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age and the age to come. has put all things under his feet and gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And so then Jesus is there. And he says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And so your authority is in Jesus Christ. You're sitting in him. And he has all authority. How well are you submitted to him? That determines the authority of your prayer. How well are you submitted to the Holy Ghost? To what he says, what Jesus sends him to say to you. How well are you submitted to the Word of God? That determines the amount of authority that you have. When you pray, there it is, Romans 1:2, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist bring judgment on themselves. Now, what happens if he asks you to do something that is against the Word of God? Peter and John answered and said to them, the Sanhedrin, which was the authority to whom they were submitted, they were the civil authority in Israel. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things we've seen. They've told them that they can't speak the name of Jesus anymore. And they said, I'm sorry, but God has told us we have to. And what'd they do? They whipped them. Laid 39 lashes on their back. And what'd they do? They went out praising God that they had been perceived worthy to receive shame for His name. I wondered if I could do that. The principle of submission to authority in the messenger, the one who brings for prayer, affects the authority of the prayer for the child offered, is demonstrated in this series of verses. In Matthew 8, verse 7, Jesus replied to the centurion, I will come and heal. The word is therapeutai, which means to be nursed back to health over a period of time. It's from the word we get modern therapeutics. It means someone who nurses people back to health. And it's just after the centurion demonstrated his understanding of a submission to authority, Jesus in Matthew 8:13 pronounced, your servant is healed. And the word healed there is this word him. That's Hong number. It's an immediate healing or a miracle. It's the only upgrade in the Bible. This centurion's submission to authority brought a miracle to pass, an upgrade. You find another one, let me know. Now, children are divided in age groups. You take someone in for prayer, be in submission to God, and be in submission to the authorities that God's laid over you. It not only affects the veracity of the prayers offered for the child, it affects the veracity of the prayers that you offer for your family, for your friends, for your life. And it places you under God's feathers, under His wing, and no plague shall come near your house. And you don't have to fear pestilence that stalks at night, or the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day. Because God has covered you. Children are divided into groups. The first is 0 to 2 years old. These children are generally too small to really understand. You tell them that you're going to pray for them, and you hold them in your arms, and you claim that this child is a holy child. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, they were talking about the unbelieving mate. And they said, if the mother is unbelieving, her husband is sanctified by the believing mate. Therefore, your children are holy to God. Otherwise, they would be unclean. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now, they are holy. And so, claim this child as holy to God. To such as these belong the kingdom of God. And then you break the curses, find the spirits, and command them out. I have seen children change dramatically. I remember one little child who was born and within 2 weeks ruled the house. I mean, that child, the mother couldn't lay him down. The dad couldn't hold him. Tried to hold him, he'd child would kick back and scream and holler. And the child would holler for an hour. piercing screams. And the mother was the only one that could hold him. And within 2 weeks, that whole household rotated around that child. They couldn't go out to eat. They couldn't go anywhere. And I went to visit them. They asked me if I'd come and pray for the child. And so I went to visit them. And they wanted to go to church. And the mother said she had found a lady in the nursery at the church who'd hold the baby while they went to communion. And then they would leave immediately and go back and get the child. And so I went with them. And I was sitting there in the church, and God spoke to me in a sweet little voice. And He said, "You can bind that spirit now." And so I punched a mother who was a spirit-filled believer. And I said, "Let's pray for the child." And so we began to pray. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, not very long, I got a release in my spirit. I looked at my watch. It was 9:15. And so after the service, didn't take very long, maybe 30 minutes or so, we went down to the nursery to pick up the baby. And she said, "The baby's asleep." Something's never happened before. I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "I was holding her, and suddenly she just went to sleep." I said, "What time?" She said, 9:15. So we took the baby and went out to eat. The father said, "Going out to eat?" I said, "Well, yeah. She's fine. She's been delivered." We went out to eat. And so I talked to the mother, and the mother asked, and my mother said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, you pray in tongues over the baby every night, and you claim this child as holy to God. You break all the curses that come down through the family line. You claim this child holy to God. And you bind that perverse spirit, and you release into her a gentle and quiet spirit that is precious in God's sight. And pray in tongues over for 5 or 10 minutes while she goes to sleep." I saw them a year later, and I asked how everything was. "They're doing fine. Baby's fine." I said, "Are you still praying for the child?" She said, "Oh, yes." I said, "What are you praying?" "What you told me to." I said, "Well, how long are you going to do that?" She said, "As long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to pray for that. I don't ever want that thing back in my baby." And so, 0 to 2 years old. Now, here, 3 to 6. This age can understand a simple exclamation. And they're familiar with spirits, good and bad spirits. They got fairy tales, Harry Potter, television programs, toys. They know about spirits. And you tell them you're going to run the bad things out. And you want them to just take a deep breath and let them go. And they recuperate most of the time. Occasionally you get one that's got a real perverse spirit that's very powerful. And you might have to restrain that child for an hour. I sat right here one day for 2 hours and taught. This child was manifesting. And she lay back there for an hour before we started the service. And I was working with her back. So I just picked her up, brought her up here, sat in a chair, held her in my lap, and kept binding it and taught. And about halfway through the service, suddenly this thing let out this ear-piercing scream and came out. Child was fine. And so, sometimes you have to restrain them, and you can put them in your lap and put their legs down between your legs. Just lock your legs there and just hold on to them. And they'll twist and turn, and you just keep talking to them and tell God how much you love them and tell the child how much you love them until this thing got to come out. Now, otherwise, if they cooperate, you set them in your lap, and look into their eyes and their face and let them see the love of God in you. Just look at them, love them, and bind the spirits. And you bind them there by the Holy Spirit. "I bind you in this chair by the Spirit of the living God." Now, I've had some big men fight. I used to minister at a church where the pastor felt that there was no manifestation, the demon didn't come out. And he encouraged manifestation. Now, we had some violent manifestations with 8, 10 people holding folks down. And I believe that the amount of manifestation you see is directly influenced by the philosophy of the man in charge. And Glenn does not feel that we should allow excessive manifestations. We don't say, if you feel something coming, don't throttle it down. But we don't allow the devil to put on a show. We don't talk to demons. We don't hold long conversations with demons. We just tell them to come out. And we bind them in the chair and command them to stay. And I held people down with one finger. I remember right back there was a young man came in and he said, "Dr. No." He said, "Would you pray for me?" I said, "Well, you said I want to get married." I said, "Oh." And he said, "Yes." He said, "My father molested me when I was a child. His father molested him.
He said he molested all of my brothers and sisters, and his father molested him, and his grandfather molested his father. And I said, it just runs in the family. And he said, I don't want to molest my children. Can you cast those demons out of me? He said, the Holy Spirit can cast them out, son. And I made a mistake. I forgot to bind him in a chair. And it was right back then I began to pray, and all of a sudden this 6'2" young carpenter that could have picked up the end of this building, I believe, suddenly kicked back like this and hit the floor, and we had 3 or 4 people jump on to hold him. I said, turn him loose. Ain't enough folks in this room to hold him if he's manifested demon. And so I bound him and I put 2 fingers on him just like this. And his arms and legs, he moved around, and I just held him. And we got through and cast all those spirits out of him. And dear sweet Irma was sitting over there where Patty is. And Irma looked at me, and she gave me the come hither. And I said, yes, ma'am. Did you cast that homosexual spirit out of that boy? I said, yes, ma'am. I did. She said, good. I mean, Irma didn't miss very much. But you bind them in the chair, then you claim them as holy, you break the curses, you bind the spirits, and you command them to come out. And you have the child take a deep breath and let them go. Sometimes they'll cough, sometimes they'll sneeze, and you tell them that spirits are air, and they come out of the breathing passages, and they come out of their eyes, come out of their ears, come out of their nose and their mouth, and if they feel like they're going to cough, just cough. Take a deep breath and just let it come out. And children are remarkably cooperative. Now, I generally don't let anybody else touch the child. If the spirit is in the parent, and the parent comes over and does this, then that spirit in the baby will draw power from that spirit in the parent, and you ain't going very far. And so I generally have the parents sit back about 2 feet and pray. Teens, 7 to 12. They need a simple exclamation. You need to explain to them about God. And you lead them in a simple confession. A lot of these kids are saved. You know, children in the first and second grade in kindergarten get saved in a group. They'll get saved in their Sunday school class. And the whole group will come forth and get saved. It is a group experience. But it's valid. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But when they get... You lead them in a simple confession of faith, a confession of sin, forgiveness of hurts. And if they're older, they're getting close to 12, then you make sure that they've had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not a group relationship. They have a personal relationship. You place them in a chair, you bind them in the chair, the demons. You break the curses, you bind and command them to come out. You keep eye contact and always let the child see the love of God in you. You know, Jesus loved children. Children respond to love, and they can tell the love of God. 10 years, I take a history with the parents and the teenager present, and then talk to them. Then I assure this teenager that I will not violate their confidence, that what they tell me stays with me. It's under the cloth, as they used to say. And then I get a history of the teenager without the parents. And the teenager should be born again. If not, you lead them into salvation and a confession of sin and forgive other people who hurt them and bless them. You bind them in the chair by the Holy Spirit, maintain eye contact, break curses, bind demons, and command them out and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Now, the teens may elect to have the parents present or absent during the actual deliverance prayers. That's up to the teen. That's a choice they make. And you ask them when you're taking the history from the child, and you assure the child, when you're talking to them, getting a history, that I will never discuss your deliverance with your parents without you being present. And I will tell them only those things that we have agreed. Otherwise, you're breaking their confidence. And you can't break their confidence. You lose all credibility. And I refuse to discuss the teen with the parents without the teenager present after delivering. I've lost patience over this. Because I would never discuss a child's illness without them. Because the parents will say they either maliciously or the demon will take what you say. You've heard the old saying, I know that you heard what I said, but I'm not sure you know what I mean. In lots of cases, they don't know what you said.
You say one thing, they hear something else. It's filtered through a demon. And you can say something perfectly innocent, and when it gets to the child, it's something entirely different. Dr. Newell said so. And so I assure the child that I'm not going to talk to him without parent presence. And I tell the parents that. And I said, now don't you go say I said such and such, because the child calls me, I'm going to tell them that you are a liar. Because that's what you're doing if you tell them I discussed it without her presence or him present. As I said, I have lost patience because I did this with all of my teens in relation to illness. Because I took sexual histories on all the boys and all the girls. They were always quite honest and open with me, but I would not discuss it with their parents. I'd say, if you want to know the answer to those questions, you need to be talking to your daughter or to your son. Don't ask me, because I told you I can't do that. And so you refuse to discuss it with the children. Frank Hamlin has a book over there, Deliverance for Children. He breaks them up into age groups like this. Mine look pretty much like his. They're all very general principles. He doesn't talk as much about the family history, and he doesn't have Jerry's revelation of the curses coming down through the family line and the familiar spirits coming down through the family line and manifesting in the children, but they do. And that's a revelation that you should look at. You won't find that revelation in print anyplace unless Jerry has written a book on it. I'm writing a book on ministering to the roots of deliverance, and God showed that to me. I heard Jerry speak on it about a year ago, and then God showed it to me, what she's been talking about. I'm putting it in print. I have it out in about a year, I think, along with a lot of other stuff. But pray for children, you know, and realize that your submission to authority affects your prayers for your children. How do you pray for your children? Well, you go back and you look at the relationship and you look at all these things that have been coming down through the family line and you begin to break them. One lady said, well, I've already taken care of that. It took 15 minutes. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't get in bondage overnight. You don't get out overnight. A 15-minute prayer will not break the bondages that last 120 years. You need to set aside every day time to read the Word, time to pray for your parents. If they're alive, you ask God to bless them and care for them. If they're dead, you honor their memory. You think of every good thing they've ever done and thank God for them. And you break the curse on you and your children that come down through the family line. And you break and you bind these spirits of dishonoring parents, of complaining, of murmuring. Isaiah speaks of idolatry and murmuring. And God says, I will send serpents and adders, and they will bite you. The Israelites were walking through the desert in Edom, complaining. And He sent fiery serpents to bite them. That word is also used of the seraphim that were around God's throne. In case you're interested. I thought that was very interesting when I was doing a study on angels. I looked up the word and coded it into the computer, and out came all these things about the folks getting bit by fiery serpents when they were muttering and complaining. God, you know, God doesn't like grumbling and complaining. And you stand in prayer and you bind these familiar spirits that have come down through the family line that could come down and affect your seed. And you stand against it. Remember, the devil takes territory quickly, but he gives it up very slowly. And it's like pushing a big rock through molasses. As you push him back and push him back, and as you break his power, and the thing begins to crumble, and you get free. Takes time. And then God will open up another area that you need to get free till you can come to the point you're looking for something that the devil might have in you. You can get to the point where you can walk in freedom. You can walk in wellness. You won't get sick. You won't be going to the family sorcerer. What is that? That's the drugstore. Pharmacy. Getting the pills at the Prozac, Zoloft. because you were a little nervous. You know, you got that chemical imbalance. I mean, your serotonin and your dopamine are out of balance. That's just another word for the yin and the yang, you know.
God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord.
But these are psychometric drugs. Now, if you got somebody suicidal, they help. But there's a better way, because you don't get well on those things. The love of God will get you well. And it casts out all fear. And so you come to the point that you're pressing in, that you get under the wing of God, and you stay there.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise the Lord. So I say, pray for your children. Pray for your family. Pray for your parents. Oh, gosh, it's important to pray for your parents, because it says it will go well with you and you will live a long time. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says honor your parents so it'll go well with you and you'll live a long time. It doesn't say honor your parents if they're sweet to you. It doesn't say honor your parents if they've been good to you. It doesn't say honor your parents if they've done everything you like. It says honor your parents. That's all it says. Like the red light up there says stop. It don't say stop if you feel like it. Stop if you see somebody else coming. It says stop. Well, the Bible says honor your parents. So honor them. Pray for them. That'll go well with you. That's the first commandment with a promise. And as you do that, you will break these bondages and break these curses, and you will put the enemy. Now remember this. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, after the temptations ended, he said the devil departed to await a more opportune time. He was there all the time, pressing against Jesus. Jesus said at the end, the sense of this world comes and he's got nothing in me. In the name of Jesus. Well, I think we need to stop now and we need to pray. Everybody stand up. You know, it says that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And we need to get our blood moving out of our feet and out of our fannies and back up to our brain. So everybody start praising God. Jump up and down a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Glory to you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord God. I'm going to lead you in a confession of faith, and then we're going to break some curses, and then we're going to command, we're going to bind some spirits, and we're going to command them to come out. Now, spirits are air. It says, the Hebrew word is, I don't remember the Hebrew word, but it means air. Rasha, or Rapa, or Rasha, or something. The Greek word is pneumo, and Jesus said that the Spirit is like the wind. You can see the results, but you can't see it. You can see the dust kicked up. You can see the wind move. You can see the smoke, but you can't see the wind. You can see the results of it. So it's air, and it could come out generally out of the air passages, out of the ears, out of the nose, out of the mouth. And sometimes they'll come out as a cough or yawn. They come out of other passages too. But they come out as a yawn, as a cough. The Word says that you shall expel demons. That believers shall expel demons. The word cast out means expel. And they come out, that means to cough. Let's see. Cough, yawn, or vomit, or give a quick jerk, is the way Irma described it. And so, don't look for manifestations, but let what happens happen. Okay? Just let what happens happen. Don't worry about your dignity. You worried about your dignity? I tell you, let your dignity go. You get it back. You got to choose between your dignity and the demons. Let the demons go. You can get your dignity back. Besides, other folks worried about their own demons, not worried about yours. You let them go. Get rid of them. In the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Raised from the dead for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I thank you, Lord, that you adopted me. Thank you, Lord. I believe that I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Word of God says, Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Now I repent of the sins of my ancestors in the name of Jesus. According to Leviticus chapter 29, verse 40. In the name of Jesus, I repent of abortion, incest, whoredom, vagabond, poverty, returning evil for good, witchcraft, voodoo, divination, astrology, and all other sin. I break these curses. Oh, me. And my children, forever, in the name of Jesus. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. I bind the spirit of fear, and I command it to go in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it go. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All of you, let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. All fear. All fear. All rebellion. All pride. Be gone. Everybody sit down now. Put both feet on the floor. Need to put both feet on the floor now. Don't cross your hands, your arms. Don't cross your knees. Don't cross your toes. Don't cross your fingers. You remember when you were a little child, you said something, said, I don't have to do it because I crossed my fingers. In the name of Jesus. Turn her loose. Turn her loose. Turn Becky loose in the name of Jesus. I just break your power, fear. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Let her go. I bind the spirits of fear now in the name of Jesus, and I command them to go. All spirits of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but He gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. All spirits of fear, leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of rejection, rejection and fear, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. 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 All fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Fear of being rejected. Come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose. Turn her loose, you foul devil. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of fear. Fear of not being good enough in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of self-hatred, self-mutilation. Come out in the name of Jesus. Self-hatred, self-mutilation. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All spirits of the tattoos and piercings, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I break your power. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Let it go. Out. All of you. Out in the name of Jesus. I bring the grasshopper spirits. All grasshopper spirits, come out. Spirits of inferiority, not being good enough, come out. All spirits of not being good enough, can't do it. I can't accept the responsibility. Flee them from the responsibility. I don't want responsibility in the name of Jesus. I can't do it. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. I can't bear it. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Go. Everybody take a deep breath and push them out. Push. Push. For it's written, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Come out, Joel 2:32. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power, you grasshopper spirit. Spirit of bondage, I break your power. Bondage to fear. Bondage to fear in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise you, Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All of you, go. 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 Go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath, people. Take a deep breath and let the grasshopper spirit go. Bondage. Bondage to the past. Bondage to fear. Bondage to not being good enough. Come on out. Bondage to fear of being rejected. Come on out. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Go, all of you. All this witchcraft now. Come out. All the witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I break all witchcraft bonds, all evil soul ties in the name of Jesus. Come out, all evil soul ties to the grasshopper spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. Come out, daydreaming. Daydreaming spirits, fantasy spirits, idolatry spirits, love of the world spirits. Come out. Out. Love of the world. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Out. Out, you foul devils, all seducing spirits. All narcissistic spirits, I speak to the spirit of narcissism in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All narcissistic spirits, all self-centered spirits, all selfish spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. All terrorizing spirits, all spirits of terror, terrorizing spirits, harassing spirits, come out. Come out. I bind the spirits now in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of fear. Fear causes depression. Anxiety in the heart causes depression. I bind the spirit of heaviness now. I command it to come out. Come out. All heaviness now. All depression. All mental impairment. Come out. All mental impairment. All come out. All flight of ideas. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. I command you to go. In Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Let your spirit flow into them, Lord God. Let your spirit flow into them, Lord God. Drive it out, Lord God. Drive out the spirit of fear. It brings depression and death in the name of Jesus Christ. It brings terror. I bind all the harassing spirits, all the spirits of nightmares, harassing, insomnia, come out, all bulimia, in the name of Jesus, all anorexia and bulimia, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come as you leave God's people. Come out. Come out. Touch them, Lord. Just touch them and let them flow, river, flow. In the name of Jesus, flow, flow, river. In the name of Jesus. Now come against the spirit of pride now. Come against all rebellion. Rebellion, I speak to you. I speak to you. Rebellion. Stubbornness. Rebellion. Stubbornness and rebellion and scorning. I break your power. I come against all the Antichrist spirits in the name of Jesus. All witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All the occult. Come out. All the occult spirits. Come out. All spirits of the occult. All the hidden spirits. All the Ouija spirits. All the astrology spirits. Come out, all the divination spirits. We bind you and we break your power. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. We bind all Antichrist spirits now in the name of Jesus. All false anointings, all religious spirits in the name of Jesus. I speak to Jezebel. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. I bind you, Jezebel. Jezebel, come out. Tinka, Tinka, come out. Spirit of the abortion, Tinka, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Savannah. Come out, Savannah. Iris, Semeraris, Semeraris, come out. Come out, Semeraris. I bind you and I break your power. Semeraris, come out. Iris, Iris, Astra, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I bind you all. I break your power. Diana, I break your power. Celebi, I break your power. Aris, I bind you and I break your power. Jezebel, where is your kingdom, Jezebel? Come out, Jezebel. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. I bind you now in Jesus' name. I pull you out. I speak to the spirit of perverseness now. All spirits of perverseness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirits of perverseness and whoredom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the spirits of whoredom in the name of Jesus. I break the spirits of self-pleasuring, of bestiality in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of bestiality. I break the spirits, and I command them to go.
Self-pleasuring spirits, come out. Self-centered spirits, come out. Selfish spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, all idolatry, we bind you and we break your power. We speak healing and restoration to God's people. Lord, let your spirit come down there and touch your people. Lord, you bore all their sickness and all their pain on the cross, Lord. You bore all sickness, Lord. And I bind the infirmity spirits. I bind the spirits of allergy, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. I break the spirit of bitterness now. Bitterness and rebellion, I bind you and I break your spirit. I break your power. I command you to go. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Come out now, bitter spirits. I bind you and I break your power. Come out, all you bitterness. Come out. Bitter, rebellious spirits, I bind you. I break your power and I command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. Let them go. Let them go. All the bitterness. I break its power. All fear. I pull out the spirit of fear. They would alter their immune response so they can't stand, so they get infected in the name of Jesus. Immune systems, I speak to you. Line up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Line up with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. I bind all headaches now. Headaches. Speaking to you, headaches. Witchcraft headaches. Migraine headaches. Allergy headaches. High blood pressure headaches. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All strokes. I bind the spirit of strokes in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of Alzheimer's in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. I speak the spirits of dyslexia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Dyslexia. I bind the spirits of deafness and vertigo. Deafness and vertigo. I bind the deaf spirits. I say, turn them loose. I bind the spirits of deafness and I command it to go. I bind the spirits of dizziness and vertigo and labyrinthitis and I break its power in the name of Jesus and I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go! I speak to all eye diseases. I speak to age-related macular degeneration. I command it to leave. In the name of Jesus, all have retinal detachment. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all glaucoma, cataracts in the name of Jesus. All nearsighted, farsighted in the name of Jesus. Conjunctivitis, blepharitis. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. I bind all allergies now. I break the power of allergies. Allergies come out of the nose. Nasal congestion and sinus problems. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to teeth problems. I speak to gum problems. I speak to gingivitis and I say be healed. Pyrrhea, be healed. Caries teeth, be healed. Teeth, be capped. I bind root canal disease in the name of Jesus. I bind carious teeth in the name of Jesus. I bind glossitis in the name of Jesus. I command it to go, glossitis in the name of Jesus. I bind thyroiditis, high thyroid, low thyroid, no thyroid. I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all laryngitis in the name of Jesus. Go! All laryngitis, go, go. All tracheitis, go. All bronchospastic active reactive airway disease. All asthma, all emphysema. Come out, come out, come out, come out, emphysema. Come out, bronchiectasis. All bronchiectasis, all pneumonia, all lung disease, all bronchitis. Come out, bind you. Leave God's people. Go, go, go. All congestion in the arms, congestion in the lungs. I bind heart disease, heart attacks, heart failure, in the name of Jesus. Come out. Myositis, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I bind esophagitis, in the name of Jesus. Gastroesophageal reflux, be gone. All duodenal ulcers, be gone. All enteritis and Crohn's disease, come out. Enteritis, Crohn's disease, come out. Mucus colitis, mucoid colitis, ulcerative colitis, simple colitis, bacterial colitis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you be gone. I bind you and I break your power in the name of you. All serpentine back trouble, come out. All spirits of the serpentine causing back trouble, bladder trouble, bowel trouble, I bind you, I break your power. I break all the curses spoken over them. I break the curse of the hoodoo, the voodoo, and the roots in the name of Jesus. I command it to come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to neck problems. I speak to back problems. Back problems. I say, line up with the Word of God. Back pain, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Back pain, be gone. Leg pain, be gone. Come out. Paresthesias, come out. Sleepy leg, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus, all circulation problems be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All diabetes go, fibromyalgia go in the name of Jesus. Lupus erythematosus go. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind all collagen diseases in the name of Jesus. I bind all allergies. And I speak healing and restoration to God's people. I speak to arthritis. I speak to arthritis and I say, come out, arthritis. I speak to scoliosis, back pain, scoliosis, be healed. In the name of Jesus, crooked backs, come out. Short legs, be straightened in the name of Jesus Christ, be lengthened. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing and restitution to God's people. Oh God, pour out your Spirit. Hallelujah.
Everybody stand up and hold up their hands. Oh God.
God, pour your Spirit. Lord, I ask for spirit of miracles now. Lord, I ask for spirit of miracles. Let your miracle power flow, Lord God. God, I just ask for spirit of miracles. Let your spirit flow, Lord God. Restore what the caterpillar, the palm of worm, and the pack of worm has stolen, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I say, strengthen feeble knees, Lord, and weak hands that hang down. I say, strengthen them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I speak healing grace to come down, Lord. Your mighty power. Oh, God.
With your love, Lord. With your love. Let's just wait a minute now, people. Just hold up your hands and let's just wait. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. More healings have been lost because people are in a hurry in the name of Jesus. God moves in God's time. Let your healing grace flow down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your healing grace flow down. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you, Lord God. I ask you, Lord, to fill the vessels now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill your vessels, Lord. I speak filling to them now with the grace and the love of God. Lord, let your love flow into them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the love of God flow in, Lord. For your love does drive out all fear. For your love is healed, God. Your love, Lord God, heals. Touch your people with your love. With your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the compassion of God flow down, for He loves you. Lord, let your people know that you love them, Lord God. Touch them with your love. Lord, there's so many people in this room, Lord, have never truly known your love, Lord God. They've worked and they've strained for it, Lord. Let it flow into them. It's freely gift. It's a gift that's freely given. It's a grace gift by Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Just let it flow into them, now, Lord. More of your love. Let your love flow. The love of God that passeth understanding. And peace of God, the absence of pain. Your peace, your shalom flow through them, Lord God. That's healing, Lord. Serenity, Lord God. Provision, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, divine protection. Oh God, more your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless the food. Bless the food, Lord God. Touch your people. Devil, I say to you that you're not going to steal this word. This word's falling on good soil. And I bind you. And I speak restoration to the people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.